Tonight's message is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. And I'll read from verse 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Heavenly Father, we just want to bring up this word to the enlightenment of your Holy Spirit, that you may discover things in it that I didn't even discover as I was going through this word, and let it pour through me. But Lord, let it be made fresh and new today in the hearts and minds of my brothers and sisters here tonight. Bless every one of us that is in your presence. We live for you. You are our only source of happiness. You're our only source of peace. And thank you for being with us in the fire. And some of us are going through the fire right now tonight. And thank you that you haven't let us go. You didn't let go of our hands. And you're still beside us every moment of the fire. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Puteți lua loc. There is nothing more powerful than a thought. Nu-i nimic în lumea aceasta mai puternic decât un gând, o idee, an idea has great power. When Joseph Stalin, who killed probably 60 or so million of his own people by starvation and in the camps, said, "We don't give our enemies weapons. Why would we give them ideas?" He understood the power of an idea. Puterea omului de a gândi, the power of thought, of a single thought. The unreal is more powerful than the real because nothing is as perfect as you can imagine it. You know, stone crumbles, wood rots, people die. But things as fragile as a thought, things as fragile as an idea, as a legend, they can go on and on. Nu-i așa? The power of a thought. Think about it this way. A corporation is not a building. Apple Computers is not a building. If Apple Computers would shut down and move to a different building or leave their headquarters in Silicon Valley, they would still continue to be Apple Computers. They wouldn't cease being Apple Computers. A corporation is not a person. Steve Jobs died, but Apple Computers continue to exist long after his death. And a corporation is not a product. Corporations can come up with products endlessly, right? And they can develop new ideas all the time. A new product comes out every year. A new version of the Apple, a new version of the software. So if a corporation is not a building, it's not a person, it's not a product, then what is it? It's an idea. It's a thought. I mean, we could almost venture to say Emmanuel Church is not a building. Emmanuel Church is not a person. Emmanuel Church is not a premise or a product. We are more than that. This building could go away and we would still be Emmanuel Church. Amen? I want to hear an amen to that. What brings us together is the power of a thought. That 30 years ago, 30 more than 30 years ago, God sent Brother Lazar Gog here to this area, gave him an idea, a thought. There will be Emmanuel Church, and here we are, right? The power of an idea to go through time, to outlast and outlive us, and go on and on, because it's from God. Amen? An idea. Think of ideas that have come in the past. Think of 300 years ago, for example. Think of all, let's travel back in time, 300 years, rewinding in time. Think of all the things that you would be without. There would be no polyester. There would be no telephone. No games. No electricity. Just 300 years back, all of these ideas came into being. And think of so many things that haven't happened yet, that we're still waiting to happen, that are just one thought away, one idea away. You know, they're working on a high-speed rail that goes under, what is it called? It's not a monorail. It's a capsule. There, she knows. Sora Misty knows better than me. She's reading up on this stuff. It's a bullet train or something like that. Like, what is it called, guys? Come on, help me out. That it will travel from like Las Vegas to Los Angeles in less than an hour. Yes, something like that. But there's an idea. They still haven't found a cure for cancer. The cure for cancer is one idea away. The cure for diabetes. Do you have the courage to think of an idea? Ideas are powerful things. If only God gave us ideas and thoughts. We ask God for things like money. What is money? Give me an idea. Give me one thought. Give me one idea. If you have an idea, you can change the world. If you can think, you can change. Someone said once, I think, therefore I am. You can grow. You can become. Your car is not the problem. Your degree is not the problem. Your credit is not the problem. Your thoughts are the problem. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think little, you go little. If you think big, you go big. Oh, if we were to pray over our thoughts tonight, to pray over the way we think in our thoughts. If you think down, you'll go down. If you think you can't get up, you won't get up. And it's not what other people think about you. It's what you think about yourself. It's not what you think about me. Because I don't move because of your thoughts. Brothers and sisters, we don't have time to be stewards over other people's thoughts. We don't. But we are so much governed by what other people think about us. And we form ourselves based on the thoughts of other people, what thoughts other people have for you. Isn't it true that when we run into trouble, the first thing we do is we call people for ideas? Just a fuck. I'm a problema. What do you think I should do? Give me advice. We look for thoughts into other people's minds to try to pick ideas for ourselves. Oh, if we were to pray over the way we think tonight. Amen? thoughts, ideas. You were endowed with the capacity to have ideas, to give birth to thoughts. You were created in the likeness of a creator. You need to be creative to live your life to the fullest potential, because you are a creator. Your God is a creator, and God gave this in you. And he doesn't give you a finished product. This is really cool about God. He doesn't give you the finished product because you need something to create. So God didn't create the telephone. God didn't create the automobile. God didn't create the iPhone. He didn't create a chair. He made a tree. He created steel, gold. He made air. And he said, do something with it. I'll give you the raw material. I just want you to come up with an idea, to think a thought of what can be done with this. And that is the power that God put in all of us, the power of to be creative. Do you have the courage to think? Do you have the courage to think big? This is the message that God gave me. It's been in my mind over a week now, about the power of thoughts. And I have to be honest with you, I struggle in my own thoughts. It's the warfare that is happening at the level of the mind, the biggest warfare right now, I believe, is happening at the level of your mind, not in the carnal realm, but in the level of the spirit. God gave you what you need. He gave you the raw material, materia prima, cu ce să lucrezi, and even the inspiration. And he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to have a thought. Maybe you're waiting on something you already have. The power of a thought. One thought transforms the alcoholic from alcoholism. One thought took the prodigal son away from the pigsty and back to his father's house. The word of the Lord says that he came to himself. He came to himself. He came to his senses. Și-a venit în fire. Și-a venit în fire. I-a venit mintea la cap, în alte cuvinte. La loc. Oh, do we need that tonight? Do we need that in our life? To come to ourselves. Lord, give us the courage to come to ourselves. They messed with his mind. You know, his friends and all of the debauchery and the lifestyle he had messed with his mind. Messed with his mind in such a way that he began to believe himself that he was not the son of the father. That he was just a servant that was worthy for the pigs and nothing else. When somebody messes with your mind, they mess with your most precious resource. If someone messes with your head, they mess with your family. They mess with your self-perception. Every now and then, that's why we need to come to church, so we can get our heads straight, so that we can pray and we can ask for God and the Holy Spirit to come over us and renew our minds. Amen? So that we can come to ourselves. Să ne venim în fire. What fire is that? It's not fira, like the Romanian word for fira, like firesc. Fira din Dumnezeu. The spiritual awareness that we need to come to. To think beyond where we are right now. It's beautiful. God pulls Abraham out of the tent and he shows him the stars. He says, count them. You know what God is saying to him is, what you'll see is what you'll be. What you'll see is what you'll be. Your children will be what you see. If you see nothing in them, they'll be nothing. Your husband and wife will be what you see. If you see nothing, or if you see only bad, And sometimes it's difficult not to see only the bad. If you see something good, and what you see in them, it's what they will become. Remember that. And that's what God is showing Abraham. Can you see? Do you have the capacity to think beyond where you are right now? Or is everything about your life about where you are right now? In the circumstances that you are, in the family that you have, in the resources that you have, the neighborhood that you're in, and the church that you're in. Oh, if we were able to see beyond where we are, we would be able to see these benches filled with people. Not just benches filled with people, but beyond this. People coming and getting saved and getting filled with the Holy Spirit right here in this church. God, give us the power of a thought to see beyond where we are. What you see is what you'll be. You know, words have power. When people tell you something when you were young, whenever a teacher or a coach or somebody said to you, you'll amount to nothing, or you're not good enough, or a friend or somebody that you love said that to you, it sticks with you, right? I remember when I was in fifth grade, I was kind of a troublemaker. That's not a good example for my kids. I'm not telling them that they're allowed to be troublemakers. But I was a little bit of a troublemaker in fifth grade. And I had a teacher. We had just moved, actually, recently from Romania. I had a teacher, and she gave me a poster on my last day of school. I made her life a living hell, basically. But at the last day of school, I stayed with her in the class, and I helped her clean up. She actually asked me to stay, and I did. I obeyed, and I stayed. And she was retiring. She told me that day, she didn't actually announce it to the class, but that was going to be her last class, and she wanted me to be her last student that she ever talks to. And after we finished cleaning up, she brought me to her desk, and she gave me a poster. And on the poster was this picture of a really mean-looking bulldog with, you know how bulldogs look, with their slobbering mouths. And he had like a big bloody bone in front of him. And on the poster it said, "When I do good, no one remembers. When I do bad, no one forgets." And she looked into my eyes and she said, "Daniel, I know that you can do more than this. And you can make your life something that people will remember. Do good. Always do good." She gave me a hug and she gave me that poster, and I still remember it to this day. I think I may have it somewhere at home, still wrapped up somewhere. But the words that people give you when you're young, they follow you. There is words. There is life in words. What do people say to you is what you can become. Ideas, words can spur ideas. Words can spur thoughts. At 9/11, a new term came into existence. If you guys remember, at 9/11, President Bush, who had just barely unpacked, and we had 9/11. He had barely settled into the White House. One word surfaced out of his mouth. He said, we are fighting a war on terror. That was something new. I mean, Reagan had his war on drugs in the 80s. We had the war on crime, war on poverty. New ideas began to form in society that we are now fighting wars over concepts, over ideas. Not over turfs, over territory, over stuff we could see. In the past, wars were over territories to gain new land, to regain or reconquer lands. What happened in 9/11 is that this revelation came to be that we are now fighting something that we cannot see. Terror. What is this thing, terror, that you can't see? It's easier to fight for stuff than it is to fight for an idea. Right? But remember that the spirit world is the parent world from which everything emanates, from which everything physical comes. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Everything has a spiritual origin. And even this war on terror has a spiritual origin and a spiritual connection to your daily life. There is a war on terror. There is a war of terror as well. It signaled that the war was slipping into the spirit. No, you're not going to be skinned alive, at least not in the United States. You're not going to be torn asunder. You're not going to be crucified upside down, but you're going to be killed all day long. The war has slipped into the spirit. You're being attacked in your attitude. You're being attacked in your emotional well-being 24/7. The enemy is using your past to choke you to death. You're being attacked not for who you are, but who you could be, for who you could become. A 24/7 spiritual warfare. And then also 9/11, we kept seeing that there was these cell groups that they were fighting against. This idea of cell groups just started to emerge. There were cell groups in Afghanistan, in Iraq, cell groups in the United States. There were entire departments created to go and find these terrorist cell groups. And that has ramifications in our spiritual life as well. There are cell groups that are fighting over your well-being, over your mind. Every time you try to go up in life or do something, the enemy will activate another one of those cell groups that have gone quiet in your life, dormant cell groups that have become, that keep coming back to life. And now you're 40 years old and you're wondering, why am I dealing with the same problem that I was dealing with when I was 10? I'm 37 now. Why am I dealing with the same issues that I was dealing with when I was 21? Because those dormant cell groups have been activated again in your life. 30 years into your marriage, suddenly you wake up and you say, I want a divorce. Those are not your thoughts. That's an attack. That's a cell group that has been activated to terminate what you have. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, says the Lord. Yes, the cell groups that are activated in your life that made you look in the mirror and say you don't look good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not athletic enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have the degrees that you need. And we live alone in these private battles. This is what angers me the most. That we all have these private battles that we can't talk about. You know? It is satanic espionage, is what it is. You get depressed, and you don't even know why you're depressed. You just, out of a sudden, you start crying, and you don't even know what you're crying about. You'll be driving down the street. You don't even want to go to work. And you'll say, I don't even want to be me. I just want to keep driving. I want to go somewhere where nobody knows my name, where everybody forgets that I even exist. That's an attack. To erase who you are, to erase your identity and who you are in Christ. It's not the paycheck. It's not about the finances. It's a satanic attack. a feeling of failure, of forlornment that you can't understand. And for thy sake, we are killed every day. And that is the war, brother and sister, that is being fought over your mind. You know, people are coming and shooting everyone. You know, every time that happens, they interview the neighbors and the friends. What do we always hear? Oh, Fred was fine. He was happy. We don't know what could have been in his mind. He was happy. We didn't think he'd do anything like that. He was a quiet guy, but always happy, smiling. They're talking about the outside. They don't see the inside. The warfare is on the inside. A terrorist attack on the inside. A terrorist attack over the way you think, over the way you think about who you are, over the way you think about your family, over the way you think about yourself, your friends, your church. And you're being threatened all the time. It's not what's happening to you that's the problem. It's the threat. The threat of it. Right? Of what could happen to you. This is what's keeping you up at night. At 2 a.m. and you can't sleep and you're walking around. It's not about what's happening. It's the threat of what could happen. When you're sick, that's what you think about. It's the threat of, am I going to die? What will my kids do without me? The threat that is terrorizing you. And you don't get peace when things are well, and you don't get peace when things are bad. You've had sleep, but you're still tired. You wake up tired. You go to bed tired. And it happens day after day after day. And it is an attack on your mind. You don't feel safe. You're up under attack. That's why in Ephesians, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, one of the things he tells them to put on is the helmet of salvation. Cover your head. He says, cover your thoughts, cover your mind. Keep your mind in a safe place. To be saved is to be safe. To be saved is to be safe. You don't feel safe in your own head. No wonder you can't be creative. No wonder you can't think of anything, of a new idea. No wonder you can't think positive about yourself. Is because you don't feel safe enough. You don't feel safe enough to be creative. You're always on the defensive, always fighting back. I rebuke the spirit of terrorism. I rebuke the spirit of terrorism in this church. The spirit that is threatening your mind every single day in the name of Jesus. I come against it, and we should come against it as a church so that yours could stop thinking these thoughts and you could embrace Jesus. Cover your head, the helmet of salvation, so you can think clear, so you can be creative. Because you're going to go in the direction of your thoughts, Paul is telling us. You're going to go in the direction of your thoughts. Remind your head that you're saved. Cover your head with who you are. Don't cover your head with who you were, who you used to be. We're not meant to sink. We're not meant to give up in the storm. We are meant to soar above the storm, brothers and sisters. We are eagles. Don't concern yourself with the economy, with what's going on, with all this political stuff that's happening. Don't fill your head with all that stuff that changes day after day after day, above the storm. You know, that's most of the time the problem with us is that we are flying directly into something that we should be flying above. God is saying, don't even worry about the weather. Don't even check the weather. You're not meant to be flying into the weather, into the storm. You go above it, brother and sister, above the storm. And that's what you've been created to do. You're an eagle, to fly above life's troubles. That's the reason Jesus has Peter walk on water. It's not just to do something cool. Jesus is telling Peter, this is the experience of walking over something that other people would sink into. And that is why God wants you to walk on water, to prove to the world that you are capable of walking over something that others would sink into. Others would give up when they heard that you have stage 4 cancer. Others would give up when they've been abandoned and divorced. Others would give up when your kids are running away from you. Others would give up when they've been attacked by all these thoughts. But you are an eagle that is meant to soar above the storm. And you are a Peter that is meant to walk on the water, not sink into the waves, brother and sister. Go above the storm. He who has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Today is Pentecost, and it's fitting to talk about spiritual blessings. Blessings in the Spirit, not in the carnal world. Blessings in the Spirit. Spirit blessings. Free in my spirit. What Jesus is saying is, from my spirit to your spirit, that is the blessing that I want to give you. To heal you in your spirit. What Jesus is saying, it's going to start in your spirit. Your healing is going to start in your spirit. Your deliverance is going to start in your spirit. Your growth, your business, your idea, your career, your love life, your success in school, it's going to start in your spirit. Here I am, Lord. Fill up my spirit. You are called according to his purpose, not your own. Let's remember that. But it's one of the things that I think is another problem with us is that we always pray about our purpose. God's purpose with us. Like it's my purpose. My purpose-driven life. You know, it's about me and my purpose. But we are called according to his purpose. In all our life, we've been talking about our purpose and what is our purpose in life and the reason he didn't do this and he didn't do that. And I'm still waiting on God to fulfill my purpose. What about his purpose? Have you been praying about his purpose? Have you been saying, here I am, Lord, take me. Use me however small it is, use me. If I'm nothing more than that little girl in the house of Naaman that is telling him to go and seek the prophet to be healed. If I'm nothing more than that little boy that takes Samson's hand and puts Samson right by the pillars, Lord, fulfill your purpose within me. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is, because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. Any way you want to use me, Lord. When you get rid of your agenda, God will bless you. And you will start to see that it begins in your spirit. You were surprised by the stuff that you could do, but he isn't. God's not surprised. He saw it all from the beginning because he knew you. And if anybody knows you, he knows you. He knows your mind. Put on the whole armor of God. You know, the very mention of armor in the time of Caesar in the Roman Empire was dangerous. This is a man writing from prison, and he's writing to the church in Ephesus to take up arms, to go to war. I mean, if this letter would have been intercepted by the Romans, they would have probably shut down every cell group in Ephesus because he's basically telling them to fight. But the war is not in the flesh. It is a spiritual war. And he's telling them you need a spiritual protection for a spiritual attack. The fact that you can fight in the street is not going to save you. The fact that you can shoot is not going to save you. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, brothers and sisters. The enemy that's breaking in my house is not breaking down my windows. He's breaking into my peace, into my mind. He's breaking into my thoughts. And he's there to abuse you all night long. And he's more dangerous than the prophets of Baal. Remember, Elijah runs away from Jezebel. What is he running away from? He's running away from a threat. Jezebel doesn't even actually talk to him face to face. She sends word that if I will do the same thing to you that you did to these prophets. So she's terrorizing him, and it's the threat that he's running from. What would make a man at the height of his life want to die? He goes up in a cave and he starts to say, Lord, kill me, basically. It's the language of suicide. I want to die. What would make a man that is at the height of his powers want to die? Living with a threat that he cannot conquer. I wonder if the church would open up right now. I think we'd all be shocked to see who's under attack. Maybe the friendliest faces here, the biggest smiles, and the friendliest people are under the heaviest attack. And we can't see it. And they're battling it all alone. I wonder what would happen if we would all open up and be real. Put away our faces and our good smiles and the good show that we know how to do. And be who we really are. I want to close with this. You know, they've been able to do every kind of transplant right now. They're working on everything. Like, they can do kidney transplants, routine kidney transplants now. All they do is they pop them in like batteries, actually. And some of them are even artificial kidneys. They've been trying to do liver transplants. They grew an ear on the back of a mouse. There's only one thing they have been able to do, and that is a brain transplant. I don't think they'll ever be able to do it, because the brain is the substratum of who I am. If you take my brain and you put it into Andrew, he's no longer Andrew, right? The brain tells the heart what to do. You can do a heart transplant. You cannot do a brain transplant. There's only one person in this world who talks about a brain transplant. Christ says, let this mind be in you. He says, I'm going to do the world's first brain transplant. I'm going to put my mind in you. You're going to have my mind. I'm going to put my thoughts into your head. Not the way you think about it, but how I would think about it. You are now who you say that who I say that you are. You can do what I say you can. And you are no longer limited. You're no longer limited by your own mind. Its failures, its strongholds. I'm going to put a new nature in you called the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to love where you couldn't love. You're going to be patient where you wouldn't have been patient before. You're going to have self-control where you didn't have self-control before. I'm going to do the first brain transplant. Let this mind be in you. And now you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain can move. Now you can turn your water into wine. And by the way, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Do you want to have this mind, church? You want to have the mind of Christ? I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to do an altar call, but we're not going to sing a song. I just want us to be us in our thoughts. And if you were convicted by this word tonight, and you think that you need a new mind, Christ's mind, just come forward and ask the Lord to give you a new mind. to give you his mind,